Amen. Thank the Lord. I just want to share this testimony. Sometimes, you know, when something come on your heart to do it, you don't do it right away. It start feeling like it's going away. So this happened a couple weeks ago. It's got to do with my tidings. And I would set my tithes aside. But sometimes if I have it on me and I need a little extra cash, I'll dip into it. And I'll just tell the Lord, I'll pay you back when I'll put it back in there. So that was going on for a while. And lately, I just started feeling like, you know what, Lord, I need to leave your money alone. And just when I put it aside, leave it there and just send it where it need to go on time. So I made kind of like a little vow in my heart. I ain't make a big deal out of it. So this particular day, a couple weeks ago, I was getting ready for church. And I ended up putting like about $10 or so in my pocket, in one of my skirts pocket. And sometime if I'm rushing, I'll stop and get something to eat, you know, before I get to church. So for some reason, I went somewhere and came back home. I changed my skirt and everything, and I forgot about the $10 in my pocket. So all I had was my tithes money, and I had that in my purse already. And I was making my way to go get something to eat, and I realized I changed my skirt. So I was like, man, you know, and I thought about my tithes. I said, well, you know, maybe I can just go ahead and get it, and I got the money at home, so I can always replace it. But as soon as I did that, like that little feeling in my spirit came on and said, well, you remember you made a little vow in your heart that you weren't going to touch that tithes money again. Yes, right. So I was like, man, you know, it was a little devil on your shoulder. Like, well, you know, God understand, you know, you'd be all right. So I was like, nah, something else convinced me like, no, just do what you said you're going to do, because if you buy this burger or whatever, you're going to be eating it feeling guilty. You ain't going to enjoy it, you know. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to just leave it. God has somehow provide. I was hungry that day. I ain't going to lie, I was hungry. I was like, God will provide somehow, some food going to come from somewhere. I'm going to church. So I stopped at a little gas station not too far on the way. And I was like, well, sometime they let me get a free cup of coffee. You know, I'm going to go in there and see if that coffee might can slap that hungry, you know. So I had like 80 cents on me. I had like 80 cents on me and change in my car. I said, well, I'm going to go in here and see if they give me a cup of coffee and I'll pay them back, you know. So I went in there, the lady was like, go ahead, you know, I told her what happened, I left my money in my skirt, and I'll pay you when I come back. And she was like, go ahead, get the coffee or whatever. So I enjoyed the coffee on the way to church or whatever. I got to church, I sat down, and I wasn't even thinking anymore about the money or anything. I just sat down, kind of opened up my Bible. When I opened it, I seen $10 in there, folded up. And it was just, I know it's little, but it was special to me, you know. It was $10 in my Bible. And my mom, when she was with me maybe a week or so back, a couple days ago, she had $10 and she got some change and she forgot what she did with the $10. And she asked me to look at my Bible to see if she ended up putting it in there. And I totally forgot about it. I didn't even look. I wasn't thinking I forgot about the $10 or forgot to even look. So anyway, I'm just saying that to say God already knew. And she had her purse and everything with her. I don't know why she put it in my Bible, but God already knew what was going to happen ahead of time. And to allow her to do that and just set everything up, I just want to lift him up. He's so wonderful in the small things and the big things. And he tests us when we give him a little vow, too. No, so that's it.
Amen. If you would also... Brother Howell's having a bad time. He's taking five people to hold him down, giving his meds at the nighttime. So he's fighting them all really bad. So just be in prayer that that changes. It's been 5 days that's happened in a row. So not good. But greater is he that is in me. Amen. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Satan's like a roaring lion running to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells us so. God has promised us today his overcoming power. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me.
rushing mighty wind flew into the upper room and baptized all of them with a power greater than any earthly foe. I'm so glad I've got it too. I've got to let the whole world know. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen. What about a friend we have in Jesus? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything. We often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Trials and temptations. Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord. Are we weak and heavy laden? Cumber with the load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou what finds the soulless there. Amen. Let's all stand this evening. Sing a song and then now. Sister Lily, I have a special for us this evening. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood?
soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they washed stone? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready on the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are they white as snow? Are they washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white? Brother Jonas, you come on, take the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul? They white as snow, moon be washed in the blood of.
Amen. Sister Lily, if you come.
I appreciate Sister Rebecca's testimony. I've noticed lately that if you can appreciate the small things that he does for you on a daily basis to show he cares, and you're going to be great, very grateful when he does the big things for you.
Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? And why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. So I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. So I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over.
Let's all stand. We'll change over the service. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted. Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as seen. Holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 you are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Sister Esther, Sister Esther, can we play real quick? Can we sing When the Battle's Over? We shall. Key of F. Key of F. Hey, let's just sing that unto the Lord.
When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shiny crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the New Jerusalem.
Sing it one more time.
When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Wear a crown. Wear a crown. Wear a crown. Wear a bright and
praise.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Boyd. Amen. God bless you all. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. So good to think that this life, amen, the life that we know, this current civilization that we know of, amen, it will disappear. It will be done away with. Because right now this is Satan's kingdom, amen. But there is a kingdom that cannot be moved. And that kingdom, amen, should be working in each one of us right now. Praise the Lord. Those of you who have the Holy Ghost, because why? The Holy Ghost is that kingdom. If you're born again, amen, into the kingdom of God, not only do you have possession of the kingdom, amen, but the kingdom has possession of you. Amen. So let that kingdom be born in us, amen, that we may manifest that kingdom on the outside. Amen. And if you, I like what Brother William said this past Sunday. I've often said the same thing, is that if you can't get a hold possession of this kingdom, how are you going to possess this kingdom out here? Amen. That's why Jesus said, amen, how can you help your brother, amen, spiritually when you need spiritual help? You see? So that's why he told Peter, he said, amen, go get converted first before you can go strengthen your brethren. Amen. So what is an important thing in this house? It's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Amen. We just appreciate each and every one of you. And thank you all for what you all have done this past weekend during the meetings. And how many just enjoyed that word this past Sunday? I thoroughly enjoyed, amen, Brother William, this on Sunday especially. He did a wonderful job in bringing that out. And just enjoyed the word of the Lord, enjoyed the fellowship. Amen. And thank you all for those who took part to helping out. Amen. We appreciate that. And so we're going to go ahead and go to the Lord this morning or this evening. I promise I won't keep you all long. Amen. But just continue to remember Brother Wade and Sister June, and just that the Lord would just... I don't know what the update is on Sister June. I guess she came out okay. Okay. All right, good. All right. So you can see how much I get on WhatsApp. So, but I praise the Lord that she's come out okay. So just continue to remember her, that she would continue to recover speedily. Amen. Also for her situation with that sciatica that's really bothering her. So just remember her as well. Amen. Let's turn to our Bibles in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, we're going to start at verse 20. Amen. I want to title this, Kingdom People in a Mundane World. Amen. Do you believe that the kingdom of God can exist and can shine, amen, in a mundane, yes, mundane daily routine of life? Oh, my, it's just get up, eat breakfast, and it just be like cornflakes or something like that. It ain't like sausage, biscuits, and gravy, you know. I got my cornflakes and... put on my shoes. I may have time to brush my teeth. And then, you know, I'll go ahead and go to work. And, you know, and on my way, you know, I'll get a cup of coffee, you know, and it sort of spills in the car a little bit as I'm trying to drive. And, you know, and I get to work and come back home. Is this all there is to life, you might ask? But do you think that the kingdom of God can shine in the middle of your routine? Do you think that the kingdom of God can shine in the middle of you sisters, amen, out there changing your baby's diapers? The kingdom of God can shine in the middle of you scrubbing that my husband left that bowl of cornflakes from the night before and it just dried up and stuck in that bowl and I just can't get it out. You think that the kingdom of God can shine in that? Amen. I believe it can. See, we don't think that God is not in these little matters, amen, but I believe God is in those matters, hence the reason why God allowed them in your life, because he's building character. Why? He's building kingdom people. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we're going to read this in Luke chapter 17. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." In other words, it's not noticeable. It's, you can't really tell that it's even there. Amen. "Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Amen. I like the way the New Living Translation says it. It says it this way. One day the Pharisees asked Jesus when will the kingdom of God come? Jesus replied, the kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, here it is, or it's over there. For the kingdom of God is already among you. Now that was Jesus speaking, because why? He is the kingdom. Amen. So I like the way it phrases it there, because it can't be within you at that time, because Jesus had not died and resurrected and had not come back in the form of the Holy Spirit. So it wasn't within them at that time. Amen. But it was amongst them at the time. Later it comes in them. Amen. In the form of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord Jesus. And one more scripture in Zechariah chapter 4 says, very familiar scripture to us, verse 5. Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power. In other words, no pushing or pulling, or no pulling or pushing. Has nothing to do with you, but what? But by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. You may be seated this evening. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, not by might, not by power, amen, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And I put that scripture in there because the Spirit, amen, we know that the Holy Spirit, this Spirit is the kingdom of God, amen. And we know that the Spirit of the Lord, amen. We're going to read that verse 7 there in Zechariah towards the end of the service. But we know that the Spirit of the Lord, amen, came upon Jesus, who is the kingdom, amen. And what did it do when the Spirit came upon him, amen? Remember when Jesus got up and he was given to him, amen, the scroll. He went to the temple, the Bible says, as was his custom. Amen. So Jesus went to church, amen. Jesus made it a custom to go to church. Amen. It might be a routine. Amen. Well, it's Sunday, so we go to church. It's Wednesday, so we go to church. Every time those doors, amen, open, we go to church. Amen. And I'm not hitting on anybody who hasn't come or wasn't here Sunday. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to tell you that, brother, that Jesus went to church. Amen. If he went to church and he's our example, how much more should we do that? Amen. Praise God. So in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, it says, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. Amen. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And it's interesting because the Bible says it that way, that he found the place. In other words, he was specifically searching for that specific spot. Amen. Because if you don't search, you don't find, right? So I believe, that's just me personally, I believe that he actually specifically went to that specific, searching for that specific scripture. Amen. Because there was something that was getting ready to unfold there. Amen. And he says there, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He started reading this scripture. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Amen. Now we're going to read here now in verse 22, it says, and all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, the people around them said, is this not Joseph's son? In other words, he's a commoner amongst us. Is this not Joseph's son? Someone common, someone who didn't seem like that the kingdom was there, that was showing forth the kingdom, but the kingdom of God was right there amongst them. Amen. And they didn't even know it. The Messiah that they were praying about and they were asking for was standing right there in front of them, and they had no clue that it was happening. Praise the Lord. Amen. We forgot to pray, so let's just bow our heads real quick. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for the opportunity to open back the pages of your word. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would just anoint your word, Father, as we go forth and speak, Father God, a few things, Lord, to help encourage your people. Lord, may you just bless and put your anointing upon it, Father, for this is your word, Lord. Forgive us for all of our sins, Lord, and cleanse us, Father. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just be with us, Father, and be with Sister June and those that couldn't be here, Father God. May you just bless them, Lord, and strengthen them, Father God. Touch their bodies, Lord Jesus, and we just commit the rest of the service into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name and for your glory we ask. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, Brother Branham says here, we've read this quote many times, and speaking about what Jesus, what happened here in this situation where Jesus was reading this scripture, Brother Branham says this. He says, some people gets the wrong impression of what the anointing is. Did you ever think of that? When was the greatest anointing ever given to anyone, and what did they do when they had the anointing? Now, we especially those who grew up in the Pentecostal realms. You know, I grew up as a Baptist, Catholic, Jehovah's Witness, so I was in pretty much ho-hum type of religions. You know, people didn't really shout, scream, and if you clapped your hands in the Baptist church, I mean, you were looked at very badly. That was a no-no. Amen? So it was no. But so it was very new to me when I came to the message and I started visiting message churches, and people were more active and more lively and more clapping and things like that. I was almost in condemning mode. I'm like, bunch of sinners. Look at them making all that noise and all that racket when we should be holy. The Lord deserves respect. But you see, later on, I started learning, amen, that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. I started learning, amen, that nature rejoices, amen, and praises the Lord in its way. Amen. When the wind blows, amen, through the trees don't stay still. The trees start to move. Amen. When things are happening, amen, and the animals, amen, they get up, the birds get up in the morning, amen. You don't think the birds are quiet. I mean, the birds, you hear them birds outside your window. And I got this one little bird outside my window right there at the back of my house that has this specific little chirp. And normally birds are good and they're fine, they're lovely, but this one's got a certain chirp. I don't know if it's sick or what, but it sounds sick. But it's praising the Lord. Amen. Amen. Because God gave him that ability to do so. Amen. It's doing what it was meant to do. Amen. I believe he's praising the Lord. Or maybe he's trying to draw attention or whatever he's doing. But I believe that he's doing it. Amen. Because he's praising his creator. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. And so We see that we come here into this life, amen, and we worship in different ways, amen. So I grew up that way, amen, and I started to realize, amen, people, amen, they have their different ways of worshiping, amen. That's just how it is. Some of us are more quiet. Some of us are more loud. Some of us are more in the kind of in the middle, in between, amen. But God loves it all. God doesn't prefer one over the other. Amen. And so neither should we as well. That's why I personally do not. I believe there should be balance in this way of thinking, because here amongst people, amen, we see that some prevail in the idea of if you're not too real Pentecostal like, amen, then you're not getting the blessings of the Lord. But then we have here some right here on this side, amen, that say, well, you got to be quiet and you have to just be very reverent and very quiet. And I believe that you have to be reverent. Amen. But there's a point, amen, that there's got to be a balance. Amen. There's a balance. Amen.
Because when something strikes you, amen, and God has done something in your life, you can't help but do something about that. You can't help to tell someone. You can't help to let someone know, to sing about it, to shout about it, amen. I'm just kind of going a little bit of what Brother William was saying because I really enjoyed what he had to say on Sunday, amen. I thought that that was very striking, amen. Very timely. Many people nowadays, amen, is very unbalanced. You have those that are very Pentecostal, and if you don't lean that way, then you're not in the message. But then those, amen, who are just very much quiet, amen, and it's all about, if you just don't listen and it's all about the teaching, then you're not in the message. And I believe there's a balance of both. Amen. That's why God gave us a fivefold ministry. Amen. It's a balance. Why do we have to have a balanced diet in order to live a balanced life? So if you have to have a balanced diet physically, how much more spiritually? Amen. So you worship the Lord in the way that God gave you to worship God. Amen. And no one should condemn you for it. If maybe you're not doing it right, then the Lord, let the Lord deal with you on that. But you be the one, amen. But within, inside of you, amen, you say, Lord, I want to worship you because I'm so thankful for what you've done in my life. I'm so appreciative of what you have, how you've led me, how you have protected me. I remember that certain situation back in certain time, amen, and how God, you watched over me during that time. I got something to worship you about. I got something to praise you about. I got something, amen, that to testify about, amen. Appreciate Sister Rebecca and her testimony, amen. It was just $10, amen, but it was $10 that's worth for a testimony, amen. That was a blessing for her, and that was her way of worshiping, amen. It's for her to testify about it. Sometimes, amen, we don't want to testify because maybe God isn't doing anything in our lives. So we really don't have a testimony. And that's not his fault. That's your fault. Amen? That's you and I's fault. Amen? God wants to do great things in our lives. Amen? So that we can share testimony. So that we can let others know so that it can light their fire, light their candles. Praise the Lord Jesus. All right, don't get sleepy on me. So we see here, amen, that Jesus, Brother Branham says here, let's continue reading this quote. The greatest anointing that was ever given to anyone was Jesus Christ. We have the Spirit by measure. He had it without measure. And one day he entered into the temple and picked up the scroll and read, said, the Spirit of God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the acceptable year, to bind up the broken hearts, to heal the sick, give sight to the blind. And now we would think if such anointing was on him, that had been prophesied 800 years before that it would come. And here he was with that type of anointing, the full blessing and anointing of the Lord upon him. We would want to run all over the building, scream and holler. That's what we would think. I mean, especially if those who grew up in the Pentecostal realms, amen. You hear the word, the anointing of God is upon it. You start shaking and you start, amen. That's fine. But it just really depends on how you grew up. You see? And so we would think that the anointing, how many can say that Jesus had the anointing there while he was reading that scripture? Amen? But watch what Brother Branham says. If you haven't read this quote before, we would want to run all over the building, scream and holler, but the Bible said he laid down the scroll and sat down and precious words proceeded from his mouth. Now I believe he wasn't slobbering and shouting and talking real close to the microphone. If they didn't have microphone at that time. That's what he done under the anointing. That's what he done under the anointing. He just put the scripture up and started speaking words from his mouth. Amen. I believe the people understood because they reacted to what he was saying. Amen. And watch what he says here, Brother Branham. This is your prophet. He says here, the anointing is not emotions, But he's not saying that emotions are bad. That's where we misunderstand that. Having an emotion, a genuine emotion, amen, happen to you because the Holy Spirit is working and doing something, amen. Hey, let that happen. Because we all need to receive from that as well. But watch what it says here. The anointing is supreme power in control. Now, what is the power? Amen. It is the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Supreme power in control. Like knowing exactly what and how. See? And that's what's here. So I believe Brother Branham is saying, amen, that's what the Holy Spirit will cause you to do. That's what the great anointing will cause you to do, is supreme power in control. Amen. It's knowing, amen, knowing when to and when not to. Amen. Because for those who are more quiet and have grown up in more quiet type churches now, what does this have to do with mundane and stuff like that? We'll get to that in just a moment. But for those who like it quiet, oh, they love that quote. Oh, amen to that. Oh, yes, hit them. Hit those Pentecostal type of brothers that hold those tent meetings and shouting and just causing a ruckus. Amen. Just hit them. And they love that quote. They love that Jesus. That Jesus right there, they like. But what about the Jesus when Jesus was sitting on a donkey one day, riding on a donkey, and here comes the people, and the Bible says his disciples were the ones, his own disciples were the ones who started the shouting and the hosannas and all of that, and everybody else started it as well. I mean, started following along as well, praising God. Amen. And the Pharisees, the ones that go, you know, to the quiet church, they started rebuking Jesus, telling him, why don't you say something to your disciples? They're disturbing the peace. And what did Jesus say? He said, if they don't cry out, the rocks will. Amen. 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 Now, the Pentecostal type of brothers, now they love that type of Jesus. They like that Jesus. You see, that's how we should be. That's how it is. But see, I believe that there should be a balance in all of it. Let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. And you should be able to willing to pivot. Amen. To however the Holy Spirit is moving. But that's the thing. We've grown up in certain ways, certain mentality. And if the Holy Spirit is moving in a certain way, and so, oh, I like it. Okay, it's moving. It's fine. But if it's doing, it's right. Oh, no. I can't seem to pivot towards that. Because I'm starchy. I am settled in my ways. And I don't think that's what God is calling us to do. God is calling us to be flexible. Look what he says. Look what Jesus says. Amen. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, he says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents. Amen. And harmless as doves. Amen. In other words, be flexible. Be willing to pivot. Amen. When it's needed. Because the brother that's shouting, the sister that's screaming, or happy rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. She's just praising God, just as you are praising God in your heart, amen, with your hand down. Maybe you're not raising your hand, but you're something's happening in you. Neither one should be condemning one another. Neither one should be condemning one another. Praise the Lord. Amen. So what's the point I'm trying to make? What I'm trying to say is have balance and be flexible in your life. Amen. Praise God. Don't just be settled in your ways, because I'm going to tell you, God is moving. And if you have put, if the children of Israel, if they settled in their way and they put that stake down and they put that tent right there and God kept on moving. Amen. God was, they was just going to be left behind. And Moses was going to cross the Red Sea with all the children, and they were still back there in the desert. Left behind. You're going to be left behind if you just all settle in your ways and you think that your way is your only way. Praise the Lord. God is moving. God is changing. Amen. There's this new generation that's coming up. Amen. You have to deal with them in different ways now. It can't be the way it was dealt with 50, 60 years ago. Amen. They're rising up. They're seeing different things. They're looking at, you have to deal with them in totally different ways. And I can't go back, amen, and look and see how people were fighting at the time. I appreciate the old fighters, amen. I appreciate Brother Dale. I appreciate each one of the brothers, amen, that fought and opened this way, amen, for us. I'm so thankful for that, amen. We appreciate the ministry, amen. But I can't go back and look at that and get caught up in those same type of spirits, amen, where they were fighting with each other and arguing and fussing and talking and preaching against each other. I can't do that. Amen. Amen. I just can't get with that. I got to move on because this generation needs God. Amen. Just like that generation needed God, this generation needs God. And I think there's many brethren from nowadays, amen, they're realizing that. They're seeing, amen, we can't be fighting and back there and the way people were back then. These kids, they need God. You need God. You need someone to help you learn how to be a better mother. Someone to help you to learn how to be a better father, how to be a better brother or a better sister. Amen. Fussing and arguing about doctrines didn't ever take us anywhere. All it led was separations and condemnations, and here we are, amen. Nowadays, amen, it's about Him. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about the young people getting the Holy Ghost, amen. What are we doing for them? So the kingdom of God, amen, being reflected, amen, in a mundane world, amen, in your routine. Praise God. So let's get back to this. To this powerful kingdom, amen, of everyday living. So here in Luke chapter 17, verse 20, it says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh with no observation." In other words, there is nothing that you can say. There's the kingdom of God. That's it. You see, because it does this and that and the other. Amen. Jesus said, the wind bloweth. And it cometh. But you don't, and that's how the Spirit is. You don't know where it comes, you don't know where it goes. That's how the Spirit is. Praise the Lord Jesus. It's a mystery. You know, I preached this several years ago about the kingdom of God. I had PowerPoint presentation and all of that. You can go back and listen to it. But it really astounded me, and it was striking to me, amen, how simple the kingdom of God really is. Because we make it seem to be like it's something mysterious but yet in reality it's simple. The simplicity of Christ, amen, is sometimes so easy for us to let go of. Amen. Of how simple Christ is, amen. Now we know that the Holy Spirit, amen, the kingdom of God is the Holy Ghost. And so how is it that the kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs? Amen. We look at the Bible, amen, at examples. For example, the sun, the moon, the stars, amen. They have routines. Amen. They come up in the morning or they come up at night, and they're there for a purpose. According to Genesis chapter 1, amen, they are there for seasons, to give light, amen, for times, for dates, amen. They have a purpose. But yet we see them every day. And it just seems like it's ho-hum, and oh, there's the moon again. But the moon has a powerful purpose. We don't know all of that the moon does. There's things about, there's mysteries about the moon that we don't know of, and scientists and NASA, amen, they still scratch their head about. Or even what the moon is made out of. Certainly not made out of cheese, I can tell you that. But it all has a purpose. Amen? How about the cells in our body? The cells that form in our body, amen, all have a purpose. Even though we don't see them move, remember we're talking about this kingdom. We don't see it move. We don't see visible signs. But yet, the same thing with cells. We don't see visible signs of your cells. Amen. But if we took a swab, amen, of DNA or something like that, there'll be cells right there. And you put that in a petri dish and they'll start replicating. And those cells, amen, they're replicating in your body and they're forming, amen, your fingers. They're forming your tongue. They're forming different parts of your body. Amen. They're doing things in a mundane type of way. You don't see them moving. You don't see them forming. You don't see them. But they're doing something. Amen. They're doing something. The animal life. Take a look, brother. Wade deals with the honeybees. Amen. How are we going to be able to enjoy that wonderful sweet nectar or that honey that we enjoy and we put on our pancakes in the morning, we put in our coffee? But yet, the honeybees, day in, day out, they're doing what they're doing. Amen. And it's producing that honey. You don't see it unless you open up their beehives. You see what's going on. But other than that, you don't see what's happening. And yet it's producing great things. It's the same thing with God, saints. Amen. Sometimes we see, we don't see, God, why? I don't feel you. I don't sense that you're near. Amen. But I promise you, he said that he would be with us. Even in us. Amen. And something's happening if your desire is to see more of God. Because God, you wouldn't have that desire in you if God wasn't moving in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So oftentimes in the Bible, before there were great, we read the stories in the Bible, before there were great dramatic events that took place. Amen. There was a time of mundane routine. Just right before those times. You take Noah, for example. He preached 120 years, day in, day out, building the ark. And probably people just got tired of listening to Noah's voice, of repenting and of it's going to rain and all these things that he was trying to tell the people, that God told him to let the people know. For 120 years. But it produced an ark. And it produced a flood. It produced a great dramatic event. But it took the whole hum routine of hammering away. Of sawing. Amen. Of preaching. Of studying. Of praying. It took all those things. And one day, God did what he said to Noah that he was going to do. So before the dramatic event, amen, the mundane had to take place. Amen. We take, for example, Abraham receiving the promised son. He maybe thought that he was going to receive that blessing right there and then. But then one year went by, 2 years went by, 3 years went by, 25 years went by. And he was still waiting for that promised son. Wondering with Sarah, where is he? But he came. Sarah got pregnant. She received that son. Amen. And so that event, amen, culminated, amen. But the mundane had to take place first. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Moses at the Red Sea crossing. Amen. We can use that as well. Amen. 40 years he was being prepped in the desert before he could go and take the people and cross over the promised land. I mean, to across the Red Sea. Amen. The walls of Jericho. That's another 7 days. Amen. Just mundane. Just marching around. Going to church and opening my Bible. It was mundane. But the walls fell. Amen. The walls eventually fell. Praise God. So I want you to understand this, saints. I want you to get this, that the mundane, the dramatic events that we read in the scriptures, they were not, it's not the actual climax of those events that we learn the lessons from that. It's not the actual great dramatic climax where we actually get the lesson. It's what happened before that where we actually receive the lessons that we need in our life. Amen. Because God was working on all these individuals before the dramatic event took place. Before Noah, before the rain came, amen, God was working in Noah 120 years. You don't think that Noah sometimes felt depressed and felt unsure and wondering if he was really in the will of God or not? Why did I really hear from God? And yet God is dealing with Noah. And something is sparking in Noah's heart, amen, that is causing him to continue to preach for 120 years. What about Abraham? Something was working in Abraham. God was working in Abraham, amen, dealing with his faith as he was waiting for that promise that God had made to him. Amen. Same thing with Moses. Amen. Moses had to have Egypt taken out of him before he could actually go and rescue them from Egypt, the children of Israel. You see? So God is dealing with all these personalities. Amen. And that's the same thing with you and I, saints. It's not the dramatic events in our life, and it's not the trips to Bali and to Italy. If I could just make it to that trip of Italy, amen, I know I'll be happy in life. That vacation that I've always wanted to take down in Florida or wherever, I'll be happy. I'll have joy. Or that car that you've always wanted or whatever. I know. Oh, man, when I can get a hold of that SUV or that car, I know I'll be happy. Oh, man, but I can pay for it and everything. I'll be happy. I've reached it then. It's not that. Amen. But it's what's God doing behind the scenes. Amen. That causes the joy of the Lord. Amen. In your life. Praise God. Praise the Lord Jesus. So in life, there's times that we have times of quiet and peace, and times of loudness and drama. What if every day was dramatic in your life? I don't know if some of us could make it. It was like the barking chihuahuas that I spoke about last time when I was preaching. Just constantly around you, just barking, 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 barking. Right. Drama in your life. Right. I mean, you'd probably just... some of us probably have that already. But... and God bless you. You helped me to know what the secret is to make it, you know. Not that I have drama in life, but sometimes it feels that way. Amen. But what if everything was like that? Well... and let's just take it the other way. What if every time it was always just quiet and you didn't even hear a fly flying around you? Nothing. What if it was always like that? You'd want something different, right? But that's why God has given us this balance of highs and lows. Amen? You need a balance of both. And in those situations, amen, God is molding our character. Amen. Praise God. Because maybe you've had a week last week that it was dramatic. I mean, you got, you know, someone just ran right across and they're at a red light and almost caused an accident. And you slammed on the brakes and fell over and ended up in a ditch. But you missed that car. And it made you nervous, and I mean, and you thought about that for the rest of the week. I mean, it was some drama in your life that day, right? And then this week, it's just the total opposite. Nothing. Quiet. Peaceful. You're enjoying that because you had that previous drama from last week, right? But what if God is actually, sometimes in those ho-hum daily routines of life and and these things that we're talking about, what if God is just preparing you for something else that's getting ready to come? And He needs you to quiet down, settle down. Because He knows that something, some more drama, is going to come your way. Amen? You see how God does things? And so we don't have to take it as, oh my gosh, what are you doing? I mean, amen. That's the balance of life. We all need it. And I think our young people too, amen, in some way, especially as teenagers, when they're growing and they have these highs and these lows and there's all these changes, the changes that are taking place. Why am I feeling this way? But then I feel depressed. But then I feel so excited. And I just can't seem to get to bed. But then I don't even want to be around my mom and dad. And I don't. And then, but us as parents, we think that's bothersome. I'm getting down to the parents now. Because remember, I'm still a parent. And I'm dealing with raising teenagers right now. They need those things. They need those ups and those downs. Because it's going to bring balance in their life. Amen? Because God is dealing with them. You have to remember, God gave them to you so that you can give them back to Him. And that's what's happening. Amen? Don't get upset at them and scold them, amen, because they're thinking a certain way. Why in the world would you do that? They're going to make some dumb mistakes. Trust me. They're going to say some dumb things too. But I read scientifically their brains are still being formed all the way up to the ages of 25. Scientifically, it's been proven. So they're from a baby down to 25 years, up to 25 years old, their brains are still formed. So I don't know all the details of that. You can go on the internet and research that. But that, to me, that changed a lot of the way I think about how to deal with teenagers. Amen? Or young people. See? Because it's not just a spiritual thing with them. Amen? It's also a psychological thing or also a biological thing. Things are happening in their bodies. You see? That you went through. Nobody explained that to you, but you think that they're ridiculous for acting the way you used to act. That's the same way you used to act. But you think it's ridiculous. Because your brain has already developed. You're 40, 50, 60 years old. And that's why we don't give these kids a chance. Praise God. And you say, Lord, give me wisdom to be able to deal with my children the way you would do it. To be the right parent, the right father, the right mother. Let me say the right things that would invite them to come closer to you. And they may not do it right there and then, but I promise you, amen, they're seeing and they're taking these things in of the things that you do or don't do or say or don't say. Many times I've made mistakes. I haven't said the right thing. I haven't done the right thing. But oftentimes I'm surprised that sometimes things that my daughters would tell me that they observed and I had no idea. And I'm like, you know what, Lord, thank you that you allowed me to do that so that they could see that. Amen. So always be salty. Not just at church. Not just when you go to work. But always be salty even before your children. Be salty before your cousins. Be salty before your everybody around you. Amen. I know it's tough because we're living this mundane routine life. I got to get up in the morning and go to work and I don't feel like shaking people's hand at church. I'm not already thinking about work tomorrow or about going to school. I got to do homework and I just don't feel like it. You know what? There's many times that Jesus didn't feel like doing many things either. But yet, it's not about you. It's about what you can do for others and how others can feel, amen, the things that you're, that the impressions that you're making in people's lives, amen? So, What about these things that are leading up to those moments? Amen. The daily life. What about those things? Because you're thinking, oh, when I get that car, when I finally find the right person to marry, I'll just be happy and I'll find joy in that. And that's very joyous and that's a very happy thing. But those of us that are married can say, that's not fulfillment. It fulfills, but it's not the full fulfillment without Christ being in the picture. It's a very happy thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a blessed thing, but it's not the thing. Amen. Because things come and go. Amen. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. Praise God. So the bad times can happen. And you got the joy of the Lord. But the good times can happen, and you got the same joy of the Lord. You're settled in truth. Amen. Nothing can move you because truth is what you're settled upon. Amen. And that's what God, I believe, is trying to deal with us in this hour. Amen. So how do we find the Lord in the mundane? And how do we find joy in the ordinary? How do we find joy in me scraping off the blueberries, the dry blueberries off that bowl that my husband left the night before, and he was eating blueberry pie, and he forgot to put the water, rinse the bowl with water, and at least do that. No, he just put it there, and then now it's all dried up and nasty. Don't you hate that? And the sisters say, amen. I hate that. But instead of you complaining, I mean, I'm just being practical. You know, that's just how I am. Instead of you complaining, what about thinking, okay, I am doing this, amen, so that I'm going through this so that he can use that same bowl again. And it'll bless him to be able to use that same bowl for his cereal or for his pasta. And he might do that again. He'll just leave it in the dish and in the sink and not rinse it out or anything like that. But you know what? I'm doing it for him. I'm living my life. I'm suffering for him because I love him. I love him. I want you to look what this this really struck me. This quote by Mother Teresa. You can think about whatever you think about Mother Teresa, but this really struck me. She said this. She said, "Wash the plate, not because it's dirty, nor because you're told to wash it, but because you love the person who'll use it next." I think to me that's striking. I think if we think that way, that'll help us complain less about the chores that we have to do, especially us as, you know, the younger ones. I've oftentimes told my daughters, hey, when you have to do something, the Bible tells us to do it as unto the Lord. Right? So if your husband has the Holy Ghost, you're washing that dish. You're doing it as unto the Lord. Because that is God walking around your house, isn't it? Or how about the brother, amen? You're fixing that deck for your wife. My wife is looking at me like, I don't want to do it. But I'm doing it, not really for myself, but I know I got to do it. But she wants to see a pretty deck. She wants to say, I'm doing it to please the Lord, that side of the Lord. You see? That I believe my wife has the Holy Ghost. So I'm doing it for the Lord. Because that's what the Bible tells me to do. Right? And it'll help us less complaining and less grumbling. Amen? And every time you fold that shirt, every time you separate socks and you're trying to find the right sock after you do laundry and all these different socks, and I just can't find, where's my other sock? And you end up, you had dropped it down there all the way down in the basement, and you got to go pick it up and to pair it with this one. Amen. But instead of complaining and grumbling and thinking, oh, he's got it. I'm doing it as unto the Lord. I'm doing it because I love my husband. I'm doing it because I love my wife, and I want him, or I want my children to have a pair of clean socks. I want Jesus to have a pair of clean socks. When you think about it that way, it makes us think things a little differently, right? So I thought that that was real striking, that quote. Amen. Don't do it. Don't wash the plate, not because it's dirty, not because you're told to wash it, but because you love the person who will use it next. Colossians 3:23 tells us, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. I fail in this many times. Sometimes we lose our vision about things, and maybe things that we do here at church. And we fail to grab the whole picture, and we think that it's just about us. That shows us that the selfishness sometimes in us. Amen? Do it heartily as unto the Lord. Heartily. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. And what is the inheritance? Is this kingdom. Amen? You will receive the benefits of the Holy Spirit. You will receive that's the benefits of that kingdom. And folding some dirty clothes and some clean clothes and washing clothes. And yeah. Because now you're thinking about the person. And you're not thinking about the task. You see? Praise God. Amen. So this should transform, amen, the way we view our daily chores. And it should challenge our perspective of how we do things. Amen? That's what I'm trying to do. Amen? Because sometimes we get caught up and hung up on everything that I'm doing. Amen. And if anyone is noticing, and no one notices what I'm doing. But yet, amen, I read this verse, I read this quote, amen, and it changes my perspective. Praise God. That's one of the reasons why God put it there. Amen. Because it's not about you. It's about God. It's about the Lord. Amen. So, real quick, amen. I said I wasn't going to keep you guys, but how to ensure you are manifesting the kingdom in every moment, whether dull or exciting times. Amen. Three things. Amen. We can handle three things, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Make sure that you are established in the truth. Amen. Make sure that you are always involved and around truth. And in this case, the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because that will help you during those times, as I said earlier. Amen. When things are not going right, or things are just normal, everyday type of, I've got to go do this, that, and then I know that amen. That'll help you to always have a song in your heart. Amen. Amen. Always praising the Lord in your heart. Amen. David said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Number two, in mundane moments, you see what the Lord wants you to learn or practice. Amen. Because patience, contentment, steadfastness, joy, all these different things are not practiced in happy moments and dramatic type of events. They're practiced in the mundane, routine, daily type in and out. That's when those things are practiced. That's when you can learn patience more. Sometimes, yeah, we need, you know, a brother or a sister says something to you, amen, and it just, I want to say something back to them so bad. I just, that was a dramatic moment. There's a moment of learning some patience then. Amen. Remember, we're scaling up this mountain right here. Praise God. But it's in those times, and you say, Lord, in those quiet moments, you say, Lord, what is it that you're trying to teach me? I see nothing's going on in my life. I'm going to work. I'm coming home. And what is it that you're trying to teach me? Praise God. And number three, amen, work. Work. Because the Lord said so. Work. Do something. Be active. Maybe stay busy. Amen. Find something to do. Because if you don't, that's when Satan comes in. That's when the devil gets in. He loves boredom. Oh, he loves the bored mind. Young people, find something that can grab your mind so that you're not in, leaning over to the things of the world. Amen. But when you have your mind busy on things, I'm not necessarily saying that you always have to sit and read your Bible. Amen. Definitely find times to do that. Do it daily. Amen. But do something. Amen. To keep your mind busy. Amen. You know, we're in the age of AI, artificial intelligence, for those who don't know. And the next gadget and artificial intelligence are trying to make us to work less and have more leisure. Have more leisure and work less. In reality, God asked us to work. God asked us to use our brain. God asked us, amen. But see, all these other things are making us dumber and dumber and dumber. And we don't even realize it. AI is heading the same direction as well. Now, there's ways that AI can help. I know that. Amen. And they're trying to figure out, at the school district where I work at, they're trying to figure out, because how can AI benefit the children at school? You know, artificial intelligence, chat GTP and all these things, where it's not just giving them answers, or where it's not just, amen, but how can we use that technology, amen, to actually help them to know, amen, to learn. But you're not, really, honestly, you're not going to win. You're not going to do, there's nothing better than actually having one-on-one teacher and some class and some classmates. That's the best. That's how God created us. Amen. God didn't make us, you know, as robots and half human and half robot. That's not God's intention. That's the world's intention for us. Amen. You want to know what the world thinks of us or how they want us to be? Just go watch that movie from Disney that came out several years ago called WALL-E. That's how they're trying to make us to be. Sitting around in chairs and just getting big and fat and sassy. And with a screen right here in front of you, and it just does everything. Robots are doing everything for you. And you're just sitting there. And I mean, you just go back and watch that movie. They foretold exactly what they're thinking about today. I wonder how. Anyway, so we'll get down to that. But it's exactly what they want for you and me. But that's not how God originally intended us to be. So that's why I fight those things. Because it's not in alignment with the Word of God. It's not in alignment with God's original thought. Amen. It's great to have technology and to have, but I'm not going to wear it all over me, and I'm not going to have, you know, that's just not me. Because I like the original. I like the original. And if I can get more toward the original, it's better for me anyways. So make sure you're busy. Amen. Make sure you're busy so that the mundane, amen, doesn't seem so mundane. Praise the Lord Jesus. Brother Branham says this. Then our headship is a kingdom. The kingdom of God is within you, said the Bible, Jesus. The kingdom, we are not a denomination. We belong to a kingdom, and the kingdom is the Word of God made spirit and life in our own life. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom, amen, wants to be alive and active in your life. Amen. Even in the everyday ho-hum ways of life. God already took up his abode potentially. The kingdom of God is in the earth now, in the hearts of his saints, Brother Branham says. It's his attributes that he began in the beginning. Now his attributes is redeemed. You and I. Amen. What's he waiting to redeem the earth, to set his attributes on it, to fulfill exactly his predestinated plan? Praise the Lord. So God is working and building the kingdom in you so that one day you can fully rule over this kingdom, this earth, with character. Because power without character is what? Satanic. So if character is not being formed in you now by the Holy Ghost through the mundane type of things that you go through every day, amen, you're not going to be able to rule there. Do you see what I'm saying? That's why you need the ups and downs now. Because there it'll always be highs. But you've already have gone through all the ups and downs. And it'll just be worth it all then. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So Zechariah tells us, and we're finishing with this. Amen. Zechariah 4 tells us, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord of hosts. Amen. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace." Amen. I always like to say double grace. Amen. Through our ups and downs, amen, God is molding these virtues in our heart, in our life. Amen. Through our mundane tasks of life, it didn't take a shouting service to give you knowledge. It didn't take a shouting service to give you patience, or it didn't take for a brother to just lay hands on you, amen, and you get godliness. No, it's through the daily routines of coming to church, going to work, dealing with people, talking to people, dealing with my wife, dealing with my daughters, dealing with your children, cleaning dirty diapers, amen, folding the clothes, amen, doing all of that. That's how you get all of it. It's in the mundane things. So we need those mundane things. But you make the best of them. Why? The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the mundane, routine things. You know, the things in life, really, the things of this life, it's all about mundane routines and repetitions. Nothing. That's why the Bible says that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that formula right there makes great things happen. He never changes. Amen. So we don't always need to see dramatic changes and things in our life. Amen. Get well acquainted with the mundane of your life. And say, Lord, how can I reflect the kingdom of God in this that I'm doing? Because I just don't see it. But help me to see it, Lord. I believe He'll teach. Amen. God bless you, saints. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just sing. Let's sing, "I Want to Live the Way He Wants Me to Live." Is that okay, Brother Floyd? I think it's key of F, sister. Key of F. Amen. Let's just sing this song, and then we'll pray afterwards. Sing this too.
I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love till there's just no more love. I could never, ever outlove the Lord.
Oh, sing it unto Him now.
I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love till there's just no more love. I could never, ever outlove.
Amen. Sing this. Reach out and touch the Lord.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He
sing it unto Him once again.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King, His royal blood now flows through my veins. And I, who was wretched and blind and in sin, praise God, praise God. I'm a child of
that kingdom is in you. You're a child.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins. And I, who was wretched and bound, now can sing. Praise God, praise God, 'cause I'm a child of the King.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. While we're doing our chores and our tasks, amen, we can sing that right there. I'm a child of the King. Amen. I'm showing forth this kingdom to a dying generation. And if they're going to die, if they're going to go away, amen, they're at least going to see me reflect the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. How many love the Lord? Amen. Just continue to remember Brother Wade and Sister June, and remember us in your prayers as we'll be heading to Brother Martin's this Sunday, as we'll be ministering there. Brother Wade will be preaching, and I'll be preaching alongside with him in Spanish, interpreting. So just remember me and remember him in your prayers. Remember Brother Bob as he'll be ministering this Sunday. Just remember him, that the Lord would just strengthen him and help him. Amen. How many love the Lord? Amen. Let's just bow our heads as you may be dismissed after we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for the opportunity to have opened back the pages of your word. We know, Lord Jesus, that you are simple, Father God, and you reveal yourself in simplicity. So I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us take these things and apply them into our lives as we're, Lord, studying and reading your word and learning the different doctrines and the different things that you have placed in your word, Lord God. But also, Father God, help us to reflect this kingdom as we live our daily lives, Lord. Lord Jesus, help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers. And Father, may you just bless your people, protect them on the way, and continue to be with Sister June, strengthening her body, Lord God, and raising her back up, Lord God, to normal, Lord Jesus. And Father, we just commit ourselves into your hands now. And we love you and we appreciate you. And ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. You may be dismissed. I'm a child of
the way.